The Radio Ashford Feel Good Hour with Sam Griffin and Nigel Jones. Get set for the weekend with a healthier, happier you. Friday lunchtime from 12:30 on the Sam Griffin Show. Radio Ashford, it on 7th and 1 FM or on your smart speaker.
March is National Bed Month, a reminder that sleep isn't a luxury, it's a foundation of our physical and mental well-being. And today we're diving into something that fascinates all of us, our dreams. Why do we dream? Are they random brain noise or messages from the unconscious mind? Why do we sometimes dreams wake us up in the sweat at 3 a.m. while others disappear before the kettle even boils? As always, joining me now for Feel Good Hour is Nigel Jones, life coach, hypnotherapist, NLP practitioner, author of Walking Back to Happiness and founder of 9 Kilometers by 9 a.m. Nigel works extensively with sleep, subconscious patterns and dream analysis, and his hypnotherapy practice helps people understand what the mind is processing when we finally switch off for the night. Dreams.
Hiya, Sam.
Hello! How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. I'm really looking forward to this.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. It's going to be an epic, epic feel-good hour.
Yes, it is indeed. So particularly with the dreams that you've given me.
Oh
yeah.
My goodness, I know. Very, honestly, you want to be in my brain. Let's start at the very, very beginning.
Yes.
What are dreams?
Okay, so they're basically thoughts, emotions and images that the mind creates while we sleep.
Okay.
So in a way, it's almost like the mind's resting, the unconscious is whispering to us.
Yeah.
So okay. Think of them as like unconscious, unconscious messages.
Yeah.
So there's a few fascinating things about dreams. So the first one is like everybody dreams, even though some people say they never dream. They actually do. They just can't remember them.
Yeah.
So that's proven that 99.99% of people have dreams.
Okay.
Yeah. Another bit is, or an interesting fact, is that we dream, on average, all of us, around about 2 hours every day. So if you add that all up over a lifetime, say someone who lives to 70, 80 years of age, that's 6 years.
Of dreaming.
Of just constant dreaming, just 6 whole years, dreaming solidly. Wow. No break, just 6 years of dreaming.
Yeah.
So that's massive.
Yeah.
So and then the third thing is 90 to 95% of our dreams disappear and we don't remember them. And so, you know, have you ever woken up and you thought, right, that was a great dream. I'll just maybe go to the loo before I write it down. And then you can't remember it.
Hundreds of times.
So it's really important. And what we'll come on to is tips about dreams as we go through today is literally get a pen and paper, put it next to your bed and sort of write them down, because as we'll come on to explain, they are really, really important for your health and well-being.
But why do we dream? Is it the brain clearing out files or processing emotions or expressing hidden desires? You know, why do we do it?
So there are many reasons. I suppose the top sort of two or three are the fact that it's the memory sorting out what's been going on during the day. So dreaming is thought to be part of this sort of sorting process, mm-hmm. deciding what to keep and what not to keep. So there's that going on. It's also a real safe place to explore feelings. Dreams give the mind a safe place to basically explore emotions which might be difficult to explore in the conscious mind during the day.
Yeah.
And so that could be fears or hopes or frustrations or unresolved experiences. And then there's another element to this as well, which is the power of creativity, or how creativity and problem solving links into the whole thing. So a lot of people have great ideas. When they're sleeping, they wake up and they've got the eureka moment. Mm. It all came together during the sleep, because the unconscious mind is putting stuff together, which you might not have time to do during the day because there's so much happening around you.
Absolutely.
So it's a way of sifting through our thoughts, shelving things, filing things, processing things. So, you know, in our mind. So very, very important for our mental health. And the fact that we spend 6 years of our life doing it shows you how important
how
it is.
How important it is. I must admit, I have some crazy ones.
Yes, you do.
I don't worry. I do have standard dreams as well, like cheese in fridges. But I have sent you over a couple of my dreams, but we're going to look at in a little while.
Yes, yeah.
But I do have some very random ones, and most of them are reoccurring.
Yeah. How often do you dream?
I would say most nights that I recollect what I dreamt about. There's the odd one or two that I'm like, what was that all about? And then I forget
it. Yeah.
But there are, yeah, there's quite a few ones that all kind of pop up.
Yeah.
Some are great. Wake up going, yes, that was great. Other ones I'm like, oh, yeah, I wonder why. Why did I dream about that?
Yeah.
What triggered that dream?
Yeah.
You know, and I've woken up crying, you know, I've woken up shouting, laughing, you know, and it's fast. Dreams are fascinating.
So yes.
We're going to kind of whittle down and have a bit of more of a look into some of mine that I put forward to you.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And they are very interesting indeed. And you know, if we look at like the number of times we dream during an average night's sleep, the dreams come about in what is something called REM sleep, which stands for rapid eye movement. It's when your eyes are moving really quickly from up and down or side to side, but you're actually fast asleep. It's like one of the deepest forms of sleep.
Yeah.
And in that cycle, it's almost like what happens is you first of all start with this sort of light sleep, and it's almost like, I don't know if you've ever been sort of sitting on the sofa watching TV and you've just stopped yourself from falling asleep.
Every evening.
Yeah, you feel that, do you feel that fall? Like,
yeah,
and then
yeah.
You pick yourself up straight away. That's a light sleep. So your brain is starting to slow down on the cycles per second. And then you move into what is like stage two, or what it's actually called deeper light sleep. And that's where the body begins to prepare you to go into a deeper sleep. And this in fact is where most people spend their time in the sleep cycle.
Okay.
And then you go to stage three, which is deep sleep.
Yeah.
And then there's a stage after it, which is called REM. And that's where the dreams happen.
Okay.
And then the cycle starts again. So you can then go back to come out of our REM and you go back to light sleep. Then you go through stage two, stage three, back into REM, have your dreams, and it starts again. So you can have maybe, on average, people have maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 cycles a night.
So you
could have
8
dreams every night, separate dreams.
Are the dreams more vivid when you're in REM? Or...
Well, really, REM is the only time when you do dream.
Okay.
So, vivid dreams, so there are different types of dreams. Obviously, a nightmare is a bad dream.
Yeah.
Or what you would classify as a bad dream to yourself. Yeah. And again, that's a personal thing. Whether you call it one person's bad dream is another person's
absolutely. You
know, nice dream.
Yeah, absolutely. Nigel and I are dipping into dreams this feel good hour. Are our dreams symbolic, Nigel? You know, how should we approach interpreting them safely?
Yeah, they are. The easiest way to analyze a dream is to remember that everything in it is part of you. So if you dream that you're a teddy bear in a cave, then you are actually both of those things. So if you see a teddy bear in a cave, and then that teddy bear is you and the cave is you.
Okay.
So when you analyze why you had that dream, ask yourself, you know, what does the teddy bear signify? You know, become the teddy bear and ask yourself, look at the dream through the teddy bear's eyes.
Yeah.
And you'll start to see different things because it is all you, because you've made the whole thing up. Mm. It's no one else. It's only you.
Yeah. Honestly, fascinates me.
So a good example of that, for example, is I had a client a few years ago, who basically her dream was drowning her boyfriend. And she was putting a rock on him, and each time he came up for air, you know, she would put the rock back to push him back under. Yeah. And, you know, going through that dream, what came out of that was she was the one that felt suffocated by him.
So
even though she was suffocating him, it was her that was suffocating.
Okay.
And so you have to remember that it's all about you, the dream.
Yeah.
And so analyze, look at it from that perspective, and you just see lots of different answers to what the dream can actually mean. But remember that you're the only one, the dreamer is the only one who can really interpret it.
Yeah.
So I can sit with a client and actually listen to their dream and give them my guidance on what I think it is. But it's only them that can say, well, no, I think it's this, or that's been happening in my life, and it represents this. And it's a really good way of just sort of going through your deepest thoughts and working out a plan to be the best version of you. So dreams are really important.
I think also, you know, there are some times, I'm putting my hands up here, I've had dreams before and I've gone, why on earth was I dreaming that? Because some of it was like so random, you know, we'll talk about a couple of them in a minute. And it, and you kind of, you worry yourself because you think, why was I dreaming that about that? Yeah. But like you said, I think we need to be more rational about it and go, okay, well, let's have a think about those things, like you just said, and pinpoint or pick at them ourselves and work out why we had them.
Yeah, exactly. And remember, you know, if you look at the different types of dreams, so you've got nice dreams and you've got sort of bad dreams or nightmares. And like, there are five common types of nightmare that people have. One of them is being chased or attacked, which we'll come on to in a minute with one of the ones you've said. And that can be being pursued by a person, an animal, or an unknown threat. And it's really sort of all about avoidance of a problem or stress in your waking life.
Yeah.
So that's a really common one. Another one is falling. And that's often associated with loss of control or insecurity or instability in your life. Mm-hmm. So that falling dream normally signifies that.
Yeah.
The unprepared one is a massive one, which is unprepared or failing. And I mean, I've had this several times where you all of a sudden you're just about to go into an exam. And for me, it used to be like, I'm just about to take a geography A level.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, I didn't go to any of the lessons.
Yeah.
And I forgot I was even taking this exam. And it's quite a major thing. But people have, the exam is quite a big one that comes up. And it's all unprepared for a presentation.
Yeah.
And you know, that's signifying performance anxiety or pressure in your life. The fourth one is being trapped or unable to move.
Yeah.
So you can see how these are like real, they're all like metaphors for something that else is going on.
Yeah.
And you remember, like, the unconscious mind speaks metaphor.
Mm.
It doesn't speak English or Spanish. It speaks in metaphors or things that, you know, in a metaphorical sense. And then another one, which is really common, is people dream of losing their teeth. And then this signifies normally embarrassment or concerns about appearance. And things.
Yeah.
So nightmares tend to fall in one of those five and more, obviously.
Yeah. Now, you kind of touched on nightmares there. What's the difference between nightmares, night terrors, sleepwalking and stress-related dreams?
Right. So a nightmare really is just a bad dream.
Yeah.
Or what you classify as a bad dream. A night terror is where you don't wake up, but you're literally screaming or shouting in the middle of the night. And that doesn't happen in REM. That happens in like the stage before, the deeper stage. And then sleepwalking also happens in stage three, not in REM. And that psychologists think that basically the mind is still asleep, but the body wakes up.
Yeah.
So you've got the mind in an unconscious state and the body in a conscious state. And you know, there's it's common in children, lots of children, and then they grow out of it as they get older.
One of my friends, when I was growing up, she used to sleepwalk all the time, and she would literally get up, make herself a cheese and pickle sandwich. She'd have a great big knife and she'd be cutting cheese, and her parents would be standing there going, "You can't, because you can't wake them up. You have to let them wake up naturally, because you can cause all different kinds of problems about shocking the body."
Yeah, I mean, that's said a lot, but you can wake sleepwalkers up. I mean, it's a sensible thing to do, because you've got to get them back to bed
safely.
And as you rightly say, the important thing, sleepwalkers can do extremely complex things.
Yeah.
I mean, they can cook meals.
Yes, yeah. It was mental. It was absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. And we're going to come on after the news and talk about some of my dreams.
Yes.
I sent you some over a few days ago for you to analyse. And I think I put on the end of my message, have fun with these, because they are very wild. But they are reoccurring ones. So I'm going to really looking forward to you kind of unpicking them and seeing if what you're saying resonates.
Do you want to give us a taster first of the first one?
So it makes me laugh every time. So my first dream that is reoccurring is that I am tied to a wheelchair. I am then let go down a big hill, being chased by a very large cactus and a big roll of sellotape.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. That is an insight into my mind, people. Oh, we've got more than that. That's the first one. We got three. But that is very reoccurring. I've had that reoccurring dream for many, 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 many years. So, yeah, it's a bit of a wild one. But I'm looking forward to you kind of telling me why I might be having that.
Yeah.
After the news. The Radio Ashford Feel Good Hour with Sam Griffin and Nigel Jones. Get set for the weekend with a healthier, happier you. Friday lunchtime from 12:30 on the Sam Griffin Show. Radio Ashford 107.1 FM. Or on your smart speaker. It's the Feel Good Hour. Nigel Jones is with me, and we are talking about dreams. Now, I sent you some dreams last week.
Yes.
What stood out for you and what might they reveal?
So the first one, do you want to say it again? Yeah, tied to the wheelchair, rolling downhill.
Yeah, tied to the wheelchair, rolling downhill, like free running.
Yeah.
Chased by a giant cactus and a giant roll of clear sellotape.
Okay, so I can offer an interpretation. Yeah, please, and then what we would do then is we would discuss it, ask a few questions. So, so that dream contains a strong loss of control theme going throughout it. So being tied to the wheelchair suggests restriction or lack of control of direction.
Okay.
Rolling downhill intensifies that with a sense of momentum, like life is moving fast.
Yeah.
Then you can steer. Then the cactus is interesting. This may symbolize something irritating.
Okay.
Or emotionally prickly in life.
Okay, yeah.
While the sellotape symbolizes trying to hold things together or patch things up, maybe.
That would make a lot of sense, though, if I, you know, about my personality.
Well, if I just... So finally, what I would say is the whole imagery suggests someone who's feeling pulled forward by circumstances.
Yeah.
While trying to manage multiple pressures at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so there's this, the contrast also between the prickly cactus and the repairing sellotape represents sort of irritation, and the other is like repair.
Yeah.
So my question to you would be, does any part of your life currently feel like things are moving too fast?
I think up to a point. I think I probably had this dream. The last time I had this dream was about 3 weeks ago.
Mm.
And up to that point, 100% life was crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. There's definitely some meaning and clarity with that, for sure.
Is there anything prickly in your life or irritating that you're trying to hold together?
Yeah, I think as people, we do tend to have a few things anyway. But I think... it'll be interesting to see over the next couple of months, because obviously I'm leaving here on the 27th, whether things change for me and the dreams change.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't think so. Not overly irritating me, no.
The important thing about the dream is the emotion you feel when you wake up. So, I mean, if you can remember, but did you feel fear, stress, or something else when you woke up from this dream?
The first time I had it, I was quite scared. Mm. It seemed quite a dark dream. So when I first had it, and I would probably say the first couple of times I had it, I was quite scared by it. But I've had it so many times.
Yeah.
That now it's just that dream that I have.
Okay.
So no, I don't get scared about it now. But I did for sure when I first had it. It was quite a scary vision for me.
Yeah.
I think it's also because you just don't understand it.
Yeah.
I think that's also what makes it a little bit scary, because it's quite random.
But when you start to analyse it like this, you can see it's not that random at all, no, really. Absolutely. Actually, everything in there symbolises something in your life.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. I love it. Yeah. We had another one. What was the other one?
Yeah, come on. So the other one is the puddle.
The puddle. So there's this great big puddle. Now, I don't know if anyone knows Canterbury. They've got the Westgate Gardens and the Westgate Towers. And there's a Wetherspoons pub. There are other pubs available. But there's a big puddle on that road there. And I step into it and I go down into this like black and white checkerboard floor. A bit like Alice in Wonderland vibes. And there's like lots of spinning vortexes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so water in a dream normally symbolises the unconscious mind.
Okay.
And stepping into a puddle and falling through could represent sort of unexpectedly entering some sort of deeper emotional or psychological space.
Okay.
Almost like falling into your own thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
The black and white thing's interesting as well, the black and white checkered floor. Because there's obviously, it's suggesting a contrast with the black and white.
Yeah, yeah.
Or decision making, you know, yes or no.
Okay.
Right or wrong. So you've got two opposing choices or perspectives there with the floor. The spinning vortex is introducing sort of transformation or movement, like, you know, it's going to evolve. So in dream symbolism, you know, that represents change or confusion.
Okay.
So, you know, the dream may reflect the mind processing uncertainty, complexity, competing choices. Do you feel, when you weigh that up, or, you know, what's your, having me said that to you, how do you feel about it?
It would, again, would make total sense if you break it down like that and look at it in that perspective, for sure. And I think the last time I had this one was probably just before Christmas.
Okay.
A lot going on. So it kind of would make sense, for sure.
And what was the emotion behind it? I mean, did you feel like, you know, when we're talking about the other dream, like, what were you, curious, confused, frightened?
I was more curious because it wasn't scary in any stretch. It was actually kind of dreamy and whimsical in that kind of fairy tale kind of sense.
Yeah.
So I definitely wasn't scared, but I was more curious as to what it meant.
What we talk about in dream analysis is like association and disassociation. Mm. So the question is when you, with this dream, were you actually watching that dream or were you actually in it?
Oh, I was the person going down through the puddle.
Okay, yeah, so it is happening to you.
Yeah. Okay. They're pretty much always, most of my dreams have me in it in some form, whether that's because, whether I can see myself or I am that person, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would make total sense. I've got another one. We had three.
But on that, just in summary, I think it's just your mind exploring things that you haven't yet processed.
No.
Yeah. There's lots going on. You're trying to sort of work out what is going on.
Again, that would make heaps of sense. Now, there was a third one. Now, this is a kind of... And I found this one quite interesting when I kind of sent it to you and actually wrote it down. You know, I've actually drawn this dream a few times, and it's a cliff with a picket fence around the top. There's a child in that picket fenced area flying a kite, which is going over the start of the ocean. The waves are like quite big waves. There's a boat, but there's a big eye above this this scene, and it's crying into the ocean.
Wow.
So it's quite a prolific vision. And I say, I've actually drawn it a few times, and sometimes when I do draw the eye. So that, again, that was being more of a curious, you know, what does that I was very much, I woke up going, what the hell does that signify, you know? Because it was just like very out there, but very, very clear. And I was looking at this image, and it was a moving image, so it was like happening.
So objectively, I mean, obviously, it's really strong creative and reflective quality in there, definitely.
Yeah.
The fact that you're drawing the scene suggests that it's your mind is observing itself.
Okay.
It's almost like you're watching your own thoughts being created.
Yeah.
Cliffs, because of the cliff in there, symbolise an edge or a boundary or a turning point.
Yeah.
You know, there's a boundary that you're not going to go over the edge of. What are you going to do? You're going to turn around, or you're going to... change direction or do something differently there. The child flying a kite could represent freedom, innocence, optimism, while the rough sea suggests like an emotional turbulence.
Yeah, yeah.
or powerful feelings beneath the surface. That could be there as well. Again, these are just, you know, ideas which it could represent.
Yeah.
The large eye in the sky crying into the ocean, you know, that's a powerful image of emotional awareness.
Great album cover.
Yeah. And, you know, it's seeing and acknowledging deep feelings, I guess. It could represent the mind witnessing emotion rather than being overwhelmed by it.
Yeah.
The whole dream for me, I mean, it's obviously very artistic. Mm. It's got a cinematic quality as well. It's like a movie being directed.
That's what it felt like, yeah.
Yeah, and so question like would be, you know, when you think about, say, that child flying the kite, does it remind you of freedom or something from your childhood?
I used to live as a very young child on the cliffs of Dover.
Right, okay.
But I was too young to remember it too much, but I did live there with my mum and dad.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether that's the symbolisation of the cliff and the child, quite possibly. I don't think the child would be represented any other way from that. I think that's probably why I probably think that that was... That's the only connection I can kind of think for that.
Yeah.
But that would make sense.
Yeah. And obviously we'd explore that more. And the other question I've got is did the crying eye feel sad or comforting or simply just observing?
No, it felt like it should have meaning.
Mm.
You know, there was a meaning behind that, those tears going into the ocean. Was that letting my emotions go and disappear?
Mm.
I don't know whether it was a sadness. I don't think it was a sadness. Mm. I think it was more of a release.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. That's probably how I thought of it.
Yeah.
You know, those tears going into the ocean because they're gone and they're released and they're away.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah.
Maybe. You know, that's how I thought of it. I didn't think of it in a bad way.
Did you think you were in control of the scene or just watching it unfold?
I was just watching it.
Yeah.
It was like I said, I was watching it happen and...
Yeah.
But when I draw it, it doesn't. It's a nice drawing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's weird, but really good, really profound, I think.
Yeah. So that's something, you know, we'd work on together and sort of like develop that, because there's lots of themes in that.
Yeah, absolutely, fascinating.
Yeah.
Now we've kind of talked about my crazy dreams. What are there? Are the three simple steps for, or like a dream technique to analyse dreams ourselves?
Yeah, so there's three steps you can follow. I mean, I'd say before going through that, get a pen and paper or a pencil and paper and just put it next to your bed.
Yeah.
Because it's really important that you write it down as soon as you wake up.
Mm.
So you've got the structure of what went on it. Write everything down. If you think something's weird or you can't remember it quite, even if you just remember one part of it, just get it down onto paper. So that's okay. The first thing. So once you've got the dream down on paper and you've written it out and you sort of see it in front of you in black and white, ask yourself or take yourself through three steps. And the first one is... Start with the feeling. So this is the most important clue of to the dream and what it means is, how did it feel? So it's like, when you, have you woken up scared? Are you happy? Are you sort of like...
Sweating,
delusion. You know, that is what is the emotion around it? What's the strongest emotion? Because there might be quite a few in there.
Okay.
It's classically, it's fear, confusion, curiosity, excitement. Those are the things. Because basically dreams often process the emotions rather than the events in our lives. So that's number one, what was the feeling? Two, look at the symbols that were in it. So, for example, you know, yours were cactuses and wheelchairs and sellotape and stuff. But, you know, dreams normally, well, they always speak in images and metaphors rather than literal messages. So there might be falling, which could mean loss of control. There could be water, which is emotions. Being chased, avoidance of pressure. So look for what are the symbols or the metaphor stories in the dream, because they're more like poetry than they speak in images basically. And then thirdly, connect it to your waking life. So try to sort of say to yourself, well, what's happening in my day to day life at the moment, which could reflect what that possibly could mean. what in life feels similar to the feeling I had in that dream? Does anything feel like the situation in the dream? And is there a current decision or stress in my life or change in my life that that dream could represent? So that's a really good start point to analysing the dream.
Yeah. Love that. And if listeners want better sleep and healthier dreams, what can they do? Can they start tonight?
Yes, that's the best time to start, straight away.
Yeah.
So you know, we were born to sleep. We weren't born not to sleep. So the great thing about sleep or getting a great night's sleep is literally to realise that it's all about beliefs. And so people who don't sleep well actually normally have limiting beliefs like I always wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, or I only get 4 hours sleep a night. I have to go to the loo in the middle of the night. Now these are all beliefs that you're telling yourself. So if you tell yourself that, then it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
So how about replacing it with as soon as my head touches the pillow, I go straight to sleep. I always get a good 7 hours night's sleep. And then start. Say that to yourself 100 times a day for a week.
The train is leaving the station.
Yeah. And, you know, and the brain loves metaphors as well. So a lovely one is to think of your mind as like a library. And the library closes at night. And so if any of the books are left out, well, they shouldn't be, because at night all the books, and the books are like your thoughts, go back on the shelf.
Yeah.
So if you're lying in bed with like lots of thoughts racing through your mind, which lots of people do, like anxious thoughts, then that's just the books that are left out. You've got to tell yourself that the library always closes when I go to bed.
Yeah.
And so all the books go back on the shelf. Yeah. And so just keep telling yourself that. Those thoughts need to go back on the shelf, because when you sleep, the library is shut.
Yeah.
And so telling yourself a story like that about how you sleep can change the way you view your sleep patterns. You know, another metaphor might be, as you just said, like the train station. Like the train station shuts at night.
Yeah.
And think of the trains that pass through there in the day as your thoughts. And there's a lot of them during the day. They're flying in and out. Yeah. They're going to all over the place. But then slowly, as it gets to like 10:30, 11 o'clock, there's the last trains are coming in, and then the last one leaves. And as the last one leaves,
you go to sleep.
The station closes.
Love that.
And then when you wake up in the morning, the first train
slowly
comes into the station and then pulls out. And so you can see if that is the way that you look at your sleep pattern, then that metaphor will run the way you perceive sleep, and you'll get a better night's sleep. There's obviously lots of do's and don'ts of what you should do as well. I mean, for me, the main thing is to treat your bedroom as, you know, for one thing, you go to sleep in it. You don't need like a TV. You don't need a 50-inch TV in your bedroom. And there's classic stuff like don't go on your phone at least 2 hours before you go to sleep. And then don't take the phone into the bedroom. Don't have a clock in there.
Ooh.
Or if you do, turn it round so you can't wake up at 3 o'clock to check that you always wake up at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Which is, again, it's a limiting belief.
Yeah, completely. Absolutely. It's fascinating. We could talk for a long time on this one, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the key thing is to get a routine. To get yourself into a routine that you do every night before you go to bed. So literally, it could be pre-sleep, put your pyjamas on, go and brush your teeth, no drinking alcohol or anything before bedtime, no caffeine, say the last caffeine at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. No eating at least 2 hours before bed. So you get a little routine going. In the bed routine, you know, get into position that you like sleeping in the best. Tell yourself as soon as your head hits the pillow, you go straight to sleep. Deep breathing, full body sort of relaxation, getting relaxed from your toes up to the top of your head. You'll find that with a routine, you'll just drop off.
You'll sleep so much better. Thank you so much. This is such a fascinating subject. Now, if any of this has resonated with you today and you'd like to do some work with Nigel, you can contact him at nigel@9kilometersby9am.com. Obviously, you're doing your coaching, NLP practitioners and hypnotherapy. And of course, his book, A Walking Back to Happiness, is available as an audio or Amazon.
Yes, it is indeed. Yeah. Bestseller on Amazon.
Have a look. And I know you're writing number 2.
I am indeed. Yeah. Which is going to be on anxiety.
exciting. Thank you so much for coming in. As always, a pleasure.